Amen. All right. Well, in Genesis chapter number 6, let's look at verse number 1 together. It says, "And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair, and they took them wives of all they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for the Bible, and Lord, how it's just super clear, Lord, all the doctrines, and Lord, if people would just focus on what the Word of God says instead of stupid videos and garbage teaching, Lord, I pray that you would just help us open up the Scriptures to our understanding today. Fill this congregation with your Spirit, Lord, and fill me with your Spirit as I begin to preach. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So what I'm preaching about is the truth about the sons of God. The truth about the sons of God. So there's teaching out there today that says that the sons of God are angels. Now, that is absolutely false. That's absolutely untrue. And I'm going to prove to you clearly that the Bible teaches that the sons of God are people that are children of God by faith, and that the people, so in this chapter you see that it says that the sons of God saw daughters of men that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And ultimately in this passage here, there's the doctrine of the Nephilim. Who's heard of the doctrine of the Nephilim? Okay, so Nephilim actually isn't in the Bible. It doesn't say Nephilim in here. It says giants. Okay, the Bible says there were giants in the earth in those days and after that. Okay, so you're looking at one right now, so apparently they still exist. And no, my dad is not a demon that came down and had intermarriage with my mom. Okay, so this is the teaching of the Nephilim, is that they think that these Nephilim that it's talking, these giants that it's talking about, are the offspring of demonic beings that procreated with human wives, human women, okay? Now, if you believe that in this church, I mean, I don't know if people secretly hold to the Nephilim doctrine in this church, so I'm not like pinpointing anybody, but if it is something you believe, I just want to show you from the Bible that it's just absolutely false. It's not true, and the sons of God are saved people. So number one, let's just go. I have 3 points today. And number one, the first point is the sons of God are saved people. Okay? So let's look at verse number one again. It says, "And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair." So, you know, right now I just can't prove to you out of this Bible that the sons of God are not angels. But I will show you as we go along that it's absolutely, it just can't be true. And if you still hold to that, or, you know, if you know somebody that struggles with that, maybe you can take these verses and just show them very plainly what the Bible teaches about it, what the Bible teaches about the sons of God, what the Bible teaches about who these Nephilim, quote-unquote, are. If you just type in Nephilim on YouTube, you're going to find a various array of weird videos, okay? I don't suggest you watch those videos for your teaching, because they just make these leaps. They use the book of Enoch to try to prove their point, which the book of Enoch is not scripture. You know, I had a lady last week. Who was I souling with last week? It was, who was I with last week? I was with somebody. Drew, Dr. Drew. Yeah, so Drew, I was with Drew, and this lady starts talking about the book of Enoch right out the gate. So I was like, oh, man. So she thinks all churches are false, and she's sitting there with, you know, smoking cigarettes or whatever, and just acts like she's the only one that has the truth. And really, ultimately, doctrines like this can really be a hobby horse for people, where they just, that's all they think about. And because nobody wants to believe them, they just think that they have this special truth that nobody else has. But guess what? A lot of people believe that dumb doctrine. And it's still not true. Well, I don't care how many videos you've watched on YouTube about it. Well, you got to take in perspective what the Bible says about an issue, and then that's where you get your doctrine from. You can't get your doctrine from YouTube videos of these clowns that they don't even know what they're talking about. They just make leaps of logic where there is none. And they actually, you know, just saying the word Nephilim, Okay, that's the Hebrew word for giant, apparently. But you know, I don't speak Hebrew, and when I look at Hebrew, I can't read a word of it. I just see little squiggly lines and letters that I don't understand at all. Like zero understanding. Like I could not pinpoint one Hebrew word and say what that is. Okay, that's how unlearned in Hebrew I am. But I do believe that God preserved a book, and it's the King James Bible. And then when they translated, that word for giant correctly. And so there's other modern versions that will put Nephilim in that verse. They'll just say Nephilim instead of giants. Because what they're saying is that the King James translators made an error and that they're not giants, they're just these demon hybrid people. But then there's also groups that teach that they're 450-foot tall giants that they found in the book of Enoch. And so I just want to debunk this doctrine once and for all. I mean, obviously it's going to come up again, but you know, it's a good one to look at and to understand, because there's going to be a lot of jokers that try to teach this garbage, and you need to be able to shut them down. You know, this lady wouldn't even let me talk, so there was no point in even continuing a discussion with her. Like every time I tried to respond to her questions, she just went, bah! You know, just got over the top. You know, she was over top of me. Like, you know, when people do that, it was really bad. So it was worse than I am. But anyway, let's look at Job chapter 1, verse 6. There's not a whole lot of times that the Bible says sons of God in the Bible, so I'm just going to take you through all the mentions of it. Job chapter 1, verse number 6. Job chapter 1, verse number 6 says, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them." So, and then it says, verse 7, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it." So people will take a verse like this and go, see, well, Satan came, you know, the sons of God came before before God's throne, and then Satan came in among them. So they'll say, see, they're in heaven, so they're talking to God, so they must be these angels. Well, you know, when people die and they're saved, where do they go? They go to heaven, don't they? So if you're a son of God, you instantly go to heaven. Okay? We don't believe in soul sleep at this church. We're not Jehovah's Witnesses. Your body dies, but your spirit goes up to Him who made it, right? And that's God the Father. So is it strange to you that sons of God would be talking to God and presenting themselves before Him? It shouldn't be strange, because they go to heaven. You know, their conscience, they're awake. You know, when Enoch or when Elijah and Moses came down, they obviously were still alive, you know, but God allowed them to see them and allowed them to see them minister to the Lord Jesus Christ when He was transfigured. So my point is, in Job chapter 1, verse 6, that just because it says sons of God and they're in heaven doesn't mean that they're angels, okay? And look at Job chapter 2, verse 1. Job chapter 2, verse number 1, is the second mention of it after Genesis. Job chapter 2, verse 1 says, "And there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord." So here we have a second mention, and this is when God's dealing with Satan about Job. But so the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and then Satan came in also. But you know, Satan is also the accuser of the brethren. So people have this idea that Satan is down in hell right now, and he's not. He can go to and fro through the earth. He can go and appear before God in heaven, and he's called the accuser of the brethren. And so it's no wonder to me that he would go while the sons of God are there and present his cases against other Christians, probably the people they got saved, their family members, things like that. And you know, Satan is a wicked entity, and he wants our people to be destroyed. He wants the sons of God to be destroyed and the daughters of God. And so he comes and he you know, again, he's saying, well, you know, he's bartering with God about Job, and God's like, hey, Job's a good guy. And Satan's like, well, if I take away this, watch what he does. But he always proved himself right. God was right about Job, and Satan was wrong. But there's the third mention of it. Now, Job chapter 38, turn to Job chapter 38. And this is where people will say, well, aha, I got you. These are the sons of God. The sons of God are angels. You know, and that's what, you know, that's what people will try to say, that, you know, well, how can these people be at the foundation of the earth? Okay. But look what it says. It says in Job chapter 38, verse 6, it says, whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened, or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. And they'll go, oh, well, it says they're the sons of God, and they shouted for joy when the foundation thereof were fastened of the earth. But isn't Jesus Christ the foundation of our faith? He's the cornerstone, the chief cornerstone. So now, do you think it's possible that it could be talking about a dual meaning here? Now, obviously, you know, when God laid the foundations of the earth, it says, when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. But I would say that when the Lord Jesus Christ was born, or when the Lord Jesus Christ was killed on the cross, I think there was a great rejoicing in heaven because of the fact that that cornerstone was set into place. And so, and I'll just say this, that there's no way that this can be talking about angels. So even if you don't fully understand or wrap your mind around this verse right here, it doesn't mean that the other side is right. Okay? Because look at John chapter 1:12, and it'll define, the Bible defines itself over and over again, and it'll explain to us who the sons of God are in this verse right here. Look at John chapter 1:12. And many of you probably have this verse memorized. But in John chapter 1:12, it says, but as many as received him, to him gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So who are the sons of God? Those are people that have received him and believed on his name. Those are the sons of God. He gives them power to become the sons of God. Look, there's only one son of God as far as begotten. This is where the modern versions are also try to destroy the biblical truth. Because look, in the other versions, it'll say one and only son. One and only son. Over and over again in these in the modern versions, it'll say one and only son. Well, I'll tell you what, Jesus isn't the one and only son of God. He's the only begotten son of God. That means he's his literal father, and we are adopted into God's family. There's a difference. Now, we are sons and daughters of God if we believe on the name of Christ, right? That's what it says. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So we automatically become sons or daughters of God by adoption. The moment we believe, the moment we put our faith in Christ, it's a done deal. We're sealed by the Holy Ghost. We have eternal security, and we become the sons of God. But you say, well, Pastor Thompson, well, maybe the angels are the sons of God too. Maybe that's possible. Well, it isn't possible, and I'll show you that here in a few minutes. But look at Romans chapter 8, verse 14. I'll give you another mention of sons of God here. So I think the scriptures are really clear who the sons of God are. And when it talks about sons of God in the Old Testament, it's talking about the same things it's talking about in the New Testament. Romans 8:14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now drop down and look at verse 19. It says, for the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Philippians chapter 2, verse 15. Turn over to Philippians chapter 2, verse 15. I'm just trying to show you all the mentions here. Philippians 2, verse 15. Philippians 2, 15 says that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom ye shine as lights in the world. So who is he talking to? He's talking to the people of the church at Philippi, and he's saying, hey, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom you shine as lights in the world. Jesus said that we're supposed to shine forth the gospel. We're supposed to shine the light of God into other people's lives. And that is done by human beings, okay? Angels don't shine forth their light to other people and get people saved, do they? So when it's talking about sons of God, see, people only want to claim it when it's some obscure verse that they don't fully understand. See, but when it's very clear, they'll go, okay, yeah. But if it's a if it's some Old Testament thing that maybe seems like it might, they might be able to see. Look, here's the thing: unsaved people will twist doctrine, they'll twist the scriptures for their own devices. And some of these guys that have these Nephilim YouTube channels and all that kind of stuff, what are they looking for? They're looking for people to follow them and get subscribers and build up this subscription where people just fall on every word that they say. But the fact is the sons of God in the scriptures are clearly shown to be people that are believers. Look at 1 John 3:2. says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not." So, you know, the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. So, who are the sons of God? Saved people. Look at verse 2. It says, "Behold, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Was Jesus Christ a man also? Yes. And so his he's the only person that has a glorified body right now. And it says, when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And so we're going to be like him. You know, we're created in the image of God. And when we're created in the image of God, and then he made male and female in the beginning, so I don't see any hybrids in here. I don't see any aliens, maybe a couple. But I don't want to mention any names, Ryland. But no, I'm just kidding. I'm just joking. But the thing is, look, everything brings forth after its own kind.
Amen.
All right, so God made Adam and Eve, and they've brought forth from the beginning of the Bible, which is the beginning of mankind, we've only seen humans bring forth humans. Dogs bring forth dogs. Cats bring forth cats. We don't see anything different in nature and in science. You know, I believe in science as long as it's, you know, the Bible agrees with it. But if someone's going to say the world is billions of years old, I'm going to say, no, it's not, because the Bible says it's only 6,200 and some odd years old.
Amen.
So it doesn't matter what people think. But these false prophets, you know, they want to make up some fake doctrine so that they can have some spooky little, you know, the people are watching us and there's giants are just hiding from us, but they're going to come back. That's what this lady said, the giants are going to come back. I'm just thinking, you're standing in front of one right now. So turn to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. I was getting ahead of myself here. And this is the ultimate proof of the fact that angels are not the sons of God. I've showed you verses that are very clear that teach that man and woman are the sons and daughters of God. Okay? But let's look at the Bible just shutting the door on it completely. Okay? Hebrews 1:4, look what it says. "Being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, right? You get that? Any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee, and again I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son." At any time did God say anything to the angels concerning them being his son?
No.
Okay, so that's game over right there.
Amen.
Strikes 2, 3, and 4, you're done. Well, just 3 strikes and you're out. But 1, 2, and 3, you're done. I mean, that's a strikeout right there.
Amen.
They lose, we win. The Bible wins, okay? Why is it important? Why, Pastor Thompson, why are you preaching about this? Because there's a lot of buffoons out there that teach us garbage, and it's false doctrine. It needs to be addressed.
Amen.
So he never has told any angel at any time, "Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee." Okay? "And I will be a father to him, and he shall be a son." And again, look at verse 6. "And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him." Okay? So he's just making it very clear to the Jehovah's Witnesses that there's no way that Michael, the archangel, is Jesus. Okay? And so these are actually really good verses that you can use to disprove the Jehovah's Witnesses' false doctrine. But there's other people that will teach Jesus is an angel. You know, and it's just garbage. You know, there's a lot of weird teachings about angels. There really is. People believe that they become angels when they go to heaven. Have you ever heard that before? You know, the angels are watching over me. My loved ones have become angels. I don't know where they get all this stuff, but it must be fantasy land. Because the Bible makes a very clear distinction about who angels are and who mankind is. They're different. We're different than they are. And so their interpretation of Job 38, verse 7 has to be wrong. Why? Because it says that he's never called any of the angels his son. So regardless of what you think that verse means or when that, you know, or what your confusion is with it, if you're confused about it, you're, one thing I know for sure that's not true is that it's talking about angels. Okay? When the angel, when the sons of God shouted for joy, whatever you believe about that verse, don't believe that they're angels. Okay? Because the Bible clearly says they're not. Okay? That's an open and shut case. That's game over. Part or number two, angels can't procreate with humans. I was just talking about how everything brings forth after its own kind. Look at Hebrews chapter 1, verse 7. You're already there. Hebrews 1, 7 says, "And of the angels he saith, who make his angels spirits and his ministers of flame of fire." So angels are ministers to the saved. It says, "Who maketh his angels spirits?" So angels are what? They're spirits. Are you a spirit? Well, you have a spirit in you, but we're flesh and blood also. Angels are spirits. It says in verse, skip down to verse 13, it says, "But to which of the angels said he at any time," again, any time, all right, "sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool." He's never said that before. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? So what are angels? They're ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. So angels are ministering spirits to who? The real sons of God. The sons of God. To save people. All right? And that's why, you know, I believe that we do have guardian angels. Right? But they're not little fat cherubs with bow and arrows, you know. They're not, you know, women with angel feathers, and they're not floating on clouds and wearing white dresses, okay? They're probably a lot more scary than that. And, you know, that's why people fall over and look dead when they see them. Amen. We can't see them. They're spirits. They're in the spirit world. Now, God could allow us to see them if he wanted to. God could allow us to see these angels, but he doesn't. Because if we did see them, we'd probably freak out. I mean, if you saw your guardian angel, you'd probably get really scared. You'd probably be more scared of the guardian angel than the person that was trying to attack you. But God makes it very clear right here that they're spirits. Is that clear? All right, it's clear. John 3:6, turn to John 3:6. So I just want to prove this to you logically. John 3:6. So there is a difference between angels and human beings. What's the difference? Angels are spirits. Spirits, you know, they're spirits, and human beings are flesh and blood, right? So John 3:6 says, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the spirit is spirit." So there's now obviously we're, you know, like God the Father, or we're like God, where we have like a trinity within us, right? So the body, the spirit, and the soul, okay? So we're like God in that way. But it's, the Bible says, "That which is born of flesh is flesh, that which is born of the spirit is spirit." So there's two different things we're talking about here. We're talking about spirit and flesh. So the angels are ministering spirits. They're not flesh, all right? Turn to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 37. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 37. I'll show you why I'm making this point here in just a minute. 1 Corinthians 15:37 says, "And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain, it may chance of wheat or of some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, other flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another." So terrestrial just means earthly, right? And celestial is like a spiritual body, okay? So when you're talking about celestial and terrestrial, we're talking about two different types of body types. And when you're talking about fish, you know, who's held a fish before in their hands? Okay, you catch a trout and it feels weird and slimy. It's got scales on it, right? It's different. You can tell the texture of it's different. With animals, it's the same way. We all have different types of body types and different kinds. So notice in verse 39, it says, "All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beast." So we don't have the same kind of flesh. And we don't have the same kind of flesh as a celestial body. So angels can have bodies, but they are celestial bodies, and they are also spiritual bodies, okay? Now, the Lord Jesus Christ has a spiritual body, but it also is a fleshly body. So we are different. God doesn't make everything the same. He likes variety. But the thing I want you to understand is that God doesn't bring forth things one kind to another. We can't have babies with animals because we're different kinds of flesh. We're different kinds of animals. We're different kinds of we're not animals, but we're different kinds of creatures, right? And so turn to Genesis chapter 1, and it explains this very easily for you. Genesis chapter 1, verse number 11. Genesis 1, verse 11, the Bible says, "And God said, let the earth bring forth grass and herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind." Okay, so fruit trees have their own kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. "And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good." And skip down to verse 20, it says, "And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good, and God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let fowl multiply the earth." Skip down to verse 24. It says, "And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and the beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let him have them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. God blessed them and said," "and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." So, what is the Bible trying to teach us here? That everything brings forth after its own kind. The fish have their own kind. The fowls of the air, the birds, have their own kind. And when God makes man, he made them male and female. And so, what do you deduce from that? That everything brings forth after its own kind, so man and woman bring forth after their own kind. So where do you see the demon and the man together here, being able to procreate after that kind? You don't see that. Why don't you see it? Because it's not possible. Because mankind cannot procreate with demonic, angelic beings. Okay? And so, and the other thing is that they can't even, angels can't even have children. Angels can't get married. They don't have children. And, you know, the Bible is very clear that everything brings forth after its own kind. So this thing that people believe about these hybrid humans being men of renown, being these giants in the earth, it's baloney. It's impossible. So I've already proved to you, first of all, that the sons of God are people that are saved. Okay? And then the other thing I've proved to you is that angels were never called the son of God. And number three, I just proved to you that everything comes forth after its own kind. So there's three things that are very easily provable in the Bible. And male and female bring forth after their own kind as human beings. So look at Matthew chapter 22, verse 23. Matthew chapter 22, verse 23. Now, on Thursday night, I kind of brought this up. That's what made me have the idea to preach a whole sermon about it. But I preached that out of, I showed you those verses out of Mark. Let me show you out of Matthew chapter 22, verse 23. This doctrine that angels cannot marry. Okay? Look at Matthew 22, verse 23. It says, "The same day came to him the Sadducees, which say that there is no resurrection, and asked him, saying, 'Master, Moses said, if a man die having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Now there were with us seven brethren, and the first, when he had married his wife, or a wife, deceased, and having no issue, left his wife unto his brother. Likewise, the second also, the third unto the seventh, and the last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife shall be of the seven? And they all, for they all had her. Jesus answered and said unto them, Ye do err, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven." Okay, so how are the angels of God in heaven? They don't marry, and they're not given in marriage. And so there's no issue in heaven. So we all become unmarried once we die. You know, that's why it says in the vows, till death do us part. Okay? So we'll part as one flesh in that time. And I know that's really sad for a lot of people. But, you know, it's not going to be sad because there's nobody's going to be crying in heaven. Okay? So it might seem sad to you right now. But like I said, my wife can come visit me anytime in my lush tropical island that I live on. And she's always welcome. Just got to leave by 9 o'clock, right? No. I'm only kidding. But here's the thing. This proves to you right here that the angels cannot make children. First of all, they can't get married. And second of all, they're just not able to have children. Okay? It says, but of touching the resurrection of the dead, have you not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. And when the multitude heard this, they were astonished at his doctrine. Well, why were they astonished at his doctrine? Because it was right. Because they were thinking one thing, but he helped them with the scriptures to understand what the right thing is. And that's what I'm trying to do this morning. And maybe there's nobody in here that believes this junk. But I want to make sure that nobody gets caught up on it. That's the thing. And I want us to have right definitions of what we believe. You know, so if someone comes to you, well, what about Job chapter 38, verse 7, where it says the sons of God shouted for joy? Those have to be angels, right? No, because he never said to any angel at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. That's the killer to that belief. So we have to take the scriptures in totality and let them guide us on what we believe. Amen. And this might not be the most important doctrine ever, but I think it is important to understand who the sons of God are, who the angels are, and the fact that, you know, God very clearly in Genesis chapter 1 tells us how things bring forth. Why does he tell us that? So that 2019, you don't get wrapped up in evolution. You know, where they say different animals come from different things and this and this and that. That's why people believe that garbage, because, you know, they don't believe the Bible. So why will someone believe this Nephilim doctrine also? Because they don't believe the Bible. Yeah. They'd rather believe some fantasy story. They'd rather believe in some false scripture like the book of Enoch that's not doesn't belong in the Bible. You know, and I'll even take it a step further. That book is straight out of hell. Because people try to say that it's part of Scripture and it was kept out by the Catholic Church and this and that. Look, God preserved His Word. He's the one that said that He'll keep it. He'll preserve it from this generation forever. Amen. So don't give me that garbage that the book of Enoch belongs to this book, because it doesn't. It's a piece of trash. It needs to be burnt and thrown in the fire.
Amen.
I'm King James only.
Amen.
So turn. So number three, the giants of... Giants and men of renown are not physical children of the devil. Okay? The giants and men of renown are not physical children of the devil. Turn back to Genesis chapter 6. Look at verse 4. Genesis chapter 6. Look at verse 4. Genesis 6, 4 says, "There were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown." So what can we? So what you've learned so far in this sermon should be able to help you discern what this verse is talking about. There were giants in the earth in those days, okay? And also after that. So were there giants in the old and before the flood? Yes, there was. Were there giants after the flood? Yes, there were. Okay, so there were giants. And, you know, Goliath was a real living, breathing giant. But you know what? He wasn't 450 foot tall, like the stupid crackhead book of Enoch says. And it's usually crackheads that believe that garbage. But anyway. But also, we should understand that when it says, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bear children to them. What else have we learned so far that helps you to understand this? Okay, saved people went to the daughters of people that weren't saved. That's what you should be able to understand by that. And that they bear children unto them. Everything brings forth after their own kind. So if they were men, you know what I'm saying? They bring forth after their own kind. These men were not sons of God, because angels can't procreate. They were real men and real women, okay? But the fact that they became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown, should even tell you the same thing. Because, you know, the Bible talks about, I'm not gonna get ahead of myself here, but what I want you to understand is that these children that became mighty men, that were of old, men of renown, and these giants, they were children of the sons of God. And so basically this all came to, all this thing that Brother CJ read, this whole chapter in Genesis chapter 6, how the world became destroyed. Why did it become destroyed? Because the sons of God intermingled with people that weren't saved. That's what really happened. It wasn't because this secret, fake Nephilim race of giants and these demons had children with real people. That's garbage. It preaches real well. It's fascinating, but it's not true. It's like UFOs, not true. It's like Bigfoot, not true also. If you break for Bigfoot, that's fine, but you're never going to see one because it doesn't exist. Oh, there's Bigfoot. Nope, it's not. It's just a big bear. Bigfoot's not real. How do I know Bigfoot's not real? Where's the skeleton? Show me the skeleton. Well, I know that you can find some online, but that doesn't mean they're real skeletons, okay? And the one where the guy's walking, you know, have you ever seen that footage where the guy's walking? He kind of like, you know, Bigfoot. He's That could have been me in a mask, for all you know. And actually, they proved that it was the guy that was making the video, because he looks just like. Have you ever seen that where he gets exposed and it's like, that's the real footage, and then the guy like walks off after the interview, walks exactly like him. There's no such thing as Bigfoot, people. It's a neat story. It's like the Nephilim. It's a cool story to entertain, but you know what? The Bible says that, you know, we shouldn't entertain these stupid stories and vain jangling, okay?
Amen.
We shouldn't be thinking things and dreaming things up that aren't true. You know, and just like people will always say, well, what about the other worlds that are out there? What about the other planets that are out there? Couldn't there be people on them? No! There couldn't be. Because the Bible says that Eve was the mother of all living. Well, what about, what if God has another Bible on another planet or something? Why don't you just worry about the Bible that you have on this planet? That's what you need to worry about. Why don't you worry about what's in this book for your planet, buddy? And quit worrying about worlds that you don't know anything about, that may or may not exist. I'll say that they probably don't exist. And honestly, I'm not worried about it. And these people that think that ancient aliens came and built these pyramids and all this stuff, there's rope marks on the stones, people. There's rope marks on them. So what does that tell you? That people moved them. Aliens don't have rope technology. They're saying that all these things were laser cut with precision and stuff. Look, people are pretty smart. People can, you know, maybe we've lost some smart since then. Maybe we can't build as good as we did back then. Have you ever noticed a house from the 1800s doesn't hold up like a house in the 1990s? Or the 1990s house doesn't hold up like that house is what I mean. Because people we just don't build things like we used to. Yeah, it might be stronger, it might be earthquake proof and all that, but it's still ugly. There's buildings that are downtown that are really old and they have like all these really cool carvings and stuff. They're pretty neat looking. Why, you don't see stuff like that today. Because people just don't have the smarts, or they don't have, you know, just things cost too much probably. But people, we've just lost something in archaeology, in our technology to build. But just because we've lost how to put a stone on Machu Picchu doesn't mean that it was put there by aliens, because there's rope marks on every single stone that's up there. Okay, so if you think that the world was, you know, all these ancient things were made by aliens, then, you know, you need to go get some fresh air. You need to go smell the chemtrails. Anyway, so the Bible says, this is, look at verse number 5. I'm sorry, I went off on a rabbit trail there. But Bigfoot's not real. Anyway, Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, it says, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So, why was God upset? Because the thoughts and intents of the heart were only evil continually. Why does God warn us not to have intermarriage with people of different faiths? Because they're going to influence you. You're not going to influence them. That's why. Or marrying unbelievers. Look, if you've already made the mistake, there's nothing you can do about it now. But I want to warn the future generation in this room, the future people that haven't chosen spouses yet, the ones that haven't ruined their lives by being with an unbeliever. Look, God says, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. Why did he destroy the whole world with the flood? Because the sons of God chose people that they chose instead of choosing what God would choose for them. That's why. Amen. So why don't you choose someone that God wants you to choose instead of choosing who you want to choose?
Good.
Just because they're pretty doesn't mean that they're going to make a good spouse. Amen. Guys,
yep. Amen.
Just because they're, you know, lumberjack type dudes or whatever, they're all cut and chiseled, you know, they spend more time in the mirror than you do, that doesn't mean that they're a good person to marry.
Amen. That's good.
If your husband spends more time in front of the mirror than you do, you got a problem.
Yeah.
Just done, right? Doesn't take that long. If your husband's in there manicuring his eyebrows before church service, he needs to get right with God. Anyway, unless you have bushy eyebrows, then, you know, okay, I'll give you a break. Anyway, I'm going to offend some people here. I better shut up. But the point is that we have to make sure that we're choosing the things that God would choose for us. Not that he chooses your spouse, but he kind of does. He says, here's the ones that I don't want you to marry. unbelievers. Here's the ones that you can choose from. It's just like, you can eat from all these trees, don't eat from that one. You know what I mean? So God wants us to choose what He wants us to choose. He puts parameters in our lives and safeguards in our lives so that we don't choose the wrong things. Why did God destroy the earth with a flood? Because mankind chose to be influenced by the wrong people. The sons of God went away from what God wanted them to do, and then the whole world became corrupted. That's how important it is. That's how important it is that you marry the right spouse. And don't go divorce your spouse tomorrow if they're not exactly what they're supposed to be. Look, you already made the vow. Hey, when you make a vow, you better keep it. Because God requires you to keep it. So if you've already made a marriage vow, you're stuck. You know, that's the way it is. Brother Francisco, you're stuck, bro. And you got stuck with the right lady, though. That's good. You guys both are saved. Both believe. And, you know, God's going to bless your home for that.
Good.
So, and if you're not in that situation, be a good influence on that person.
Yeah.
You know, there's plan B's and plan C's for your life. But you know what you should do? Don't give up. Try to influence that person. You know, the conversation of the wife can win the husband over. And the conversation isn't like what they're talking about with their girlfriends on the phone. The conversation means the lifestyle that you live. Do you obey the Bible? Do you show them that you obey the Bible? That's a way to win them over. Like, hey, they're really serious about this. Not just, well, I tried to be a godly wife for 1 week and it just didn't work out. Now I'm going to fight with you again. It takes work for a marriage to get along, okay? But anyway, I got to move on to Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13, verse 28. So this is much further than the flood after Noah's flood. It says, verse 28 says, nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land. This is the spies that come back to give the report about the land of Canaan. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. And the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land, though which we have gone to search it, is a land that eateth up its inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And look at verse 32, it says, or 33, excuse me. It says, and there we saw the giants. So there's that word Nephilim again. There we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come up of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. So not talking about literal grasshoppers. That's why people will say, see, they were 450 foot tall because, you know, grasshoppers compared to us are really, you know, it's just a euphemism, okay? It's not saying they're literally in scale the same as us to a grasshopper, okay? He's just saying we're really small compared to them. Because you don't see any of these giants being 450 foot tall. Because Goliath was like 10 foot something tall, right? The tallest guy that we know in the last 100 years was like a guy named Robert Wadlow. I think he was 9 foot something, okay? And he looked really big compared to other people, right? But my point is that if this was done by these human, you know, if giants come from human angelic hybrids, then weren't they all lost in the flood? Didn't God destroy everything that lived and moved and breathed except for Noah and his sons? So how did this happen again? Well, it didn't. That's why. It didn't. Because it says that the giants lived after that also. All it's saying is that, you know, and after the flood, did not Noah and his sons have children with, you know, different people that were not godly people. Canaan, cursed be Canaan, Ham, and all those other guys. They were people that, you know, they had children, and some of these became giants. You know, I'm sure that some of these kids were saved, and then they went and mixed with other people that were not saved. And this is how God deals with that, apparently. But anyway, just trying to show you another spot where it talks about the Nephilim. All they were is just giant people, okay? And there's still people that are giant today. Wilt Chamberlain was one of the greatest athletes of all time, okay? And, you know, he's a wicked person. I'm not trying to lift him up on a pedestal, but he was a giant. He was over 7 feet tall. He won sprinting championships. He played for the Harlem Globetrotters before they were goofy, you know. And he, you know, was just a stud of an athlete, a long jumper. He was a man of renown, okay? He was a man that would probably be able to take any one of our heads off pretty easy, you know. And he was just playing basketball and just playing sports. But imagine if he had a sword and a shield. And, you know, that's what it's talking about when it talks about these men of renown, that they became these mighty men in the earth, and they were able to destroy, you know, Goliath was a mighty man, wasn't he? But, you know, he got taken out because God is not going to just let mighty men destroy his people. He's going to let us rise up and destroy them, but we have to have the faith. Amen. like Caleb had. Caleb was like, let's go beat these guys. And these other guys were like, no, they're tougher than us. They're greater than us. They're stronger than us. You know, but we're small in number too in this church. But God's given us the victory too. And hey, we're up against a lot of different things. But you know what? When we walk into Compton, when we walk into Watts, when we walk into Waianae, when we walk into any ghetto in the world, you know what? People just receive the word of God. And we don't. Has anybody ever been attacked in Compton before in this room? Who's been soul winning in a ghetto? Yeah, lots of people, right? Is it that scary? No, because God just lets us walk in and defeat giants. He lets us, because by faith, we're not afraid to go preach the gospel to people. And so God, you know, allows us to just, you know, to overthrow things that seem like they're bigger and badder than we are. But really, God's more powerful. He's on our side. The angels are our ministering spirits. They're probably watching over us as we go and do these things. People just get too scared of things. Turn to Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14. So number three, the point is the giants and men of renown are not physical children of the devil. Okay, because they're saying, these people that believe these Nephilim doctrine, they're saying that they're the offspring of demonic beings, right? Either the devil or fallen angels, okay? So look at Isaiah 14, verse 11. Now this chapter is dealing with Satan. And this is the only place in the whole Bible where it says his real name, which was Lucifer. Okay, his name before he fell was Lucifer. And Isaiah 14, 11 says, "Thy pomp is brought down to the grave, and the noise of thy vials, the worm is spread under thee, and the worms cover thee." This is talking about Lucifer, Satan. "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." So Satan wants God's job, but it's not available. Satan wants to overthrow God, but it's not possible. But Satan wants to rise these armies up against God and try to overthrow him. And he's going to continue to do that until God finally just casts fire and brimstone upon him and his armies. And that is after the 1,000-year millennium is up. But here he says in verse 15, "Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, Is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake the kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners? All the kings of the nations, even all of them, lie in glory, every one in his own house. But thou art cast out of thy grave like an abominable branch, and as the raiment of those that are slain, thrust through with the sword, that go down to the stones of the pit, as a carcass trodden under feet. Thou shalt not be joined with them in burial, because thou hast destroyed thy land and slain thy people. The seed of evildoers shall never be what? Renowned. Genesis chapter 6, verse 4. There were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, and the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, and the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. Do you see what I'm trying to say here? So, game over. Right? The seed of evildoers shall never be renowned. Who's this talking about specifically? It's talking about the devil. Okay, so the devil cannot be the father of these men that are of old of renown. Right? Does the Bible contradict itself? Either it's true or not. And so that is like the final blow to the Nephilim doctrine right there. And so I hope you understand what I'm trying to say here. Amen. That the seed of the devil, the physical seed of the devil, he doesn't have a physical seed. The spiritual seed of the devil, he might have some wicked people that are like famous or whatever, but they're not what Genesis chapter 6 verse 4 says. They're not these men of renown. So these devils could not have made these men of renown. It says the sons of God did. The sons of God are saved people, right? Is that what it says? Or am I just making it up? Am I twisting the scriptures? No. So that proves that the devil and his angels cannot be the father of the Nephilim, giants. I call them giants. That's what they are. That's what the Bible says they are. That's what the King James Bible says they are. So the Nephilim thing is just, I just say it because you understand what I'm talking about. But turn to Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 1. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 1. So, I mean, if I was to show you an exhaustive list of all the times that God was upset with people for going to the unsaved to find their spouses, it'd be a long list. But I just want to show you a couple before we end up closing here. Deuteronomy 7:1 says, "When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and hath cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, and the Girgashites, the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, no mercy to them." Verse 3, "Neither shalt thou make marriages with them." Who are we not supposed to make marriages with? The heathen, the people round about. It says, "Thou shalt not make marriages with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his son shalt thou take unto thy son. For they will turn away thy son from following me." So that's what happened in Genesis chapter 6. They went and made marriages with people that they weren't supposed to make marriages with, and they turned those people away from following God. And after a few generations, that's all it took to make the whole world go into wickedness and for God to want to destroy it from off the face of the earth. That is why it's so important to pick the right spouse. That is why it's so important. Look, you might think it doesn't matter. It's all going to work out. No, you better make sure that they believe the same thing you do. Don't try to grab some Roman Catholic and say, "Well, she believes in the Trinity. You know, it's all good, bro. She believes in the Trinity. She believes in the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost." Yeah, but she's also in a Babylonian cult. Okay? They give lip service to it. But it's not true. So it's very important that you don't just fall for the first person that likes you. Okay? So it says, they'll turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly. But thus shall you deal with them. You shall destroy their altars and break down their images and cut their groves and burn their graven images with fire. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. Turn to Psalms chapter 106, and that'll be the last scripture we turn to. Psalm 106, verse 32. Psalm 106, verse 32. The Bible says in Psalm 106, verse 32, "They angered him also at the waters of strife. so that it went ill with Moses for their sakes, because they provoked his spirit so that he spake unadvisedly with his lips. They did not destroy the nations concerning whom the Lord commanded them, but were mingled among the heathen and learned their works. And they served their idols, which were a snare unto them. Yea, they sacrificed their sons and daughters unto devils, and shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and of their daughters, whom they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan. And the land was polluted with blood. Thus were they defiled with their own works, and went to whoring with their own inventions. Therefore was the wrath of the Lord kindled against his people, insomuch that he abhorred his own inheritance. So God can get to the point where even though you're a son, even though you're a daughter of God, that he can be so upset with you that he abhors his own inheritance. And why did he do it? Because they intermingled with the heathen and learned their ways and learned their works. And so really the ultimate message today for you to understand is that how important it is to marry the right person. How important is it to stay away from and separate yourself from the heathen? Because, you know, you can understand all these doctrines, but if you don't get the full picture as to why God actually destroyed the earth with the flood, then really that's the most important thing I preached today. You know, whether you believe that Nephilim are 450-foot tall giants, I mean, you can believe it. It's stupid. The Bible doesn't teach it. But, I mean, ultimately, if you don't understand the points about the marriage, then you're missing a big point in this sermon. Amen. Number one, the sons of God are saved people. Number two, angels can't procreate with humans. Number three, the devil's children cannot be renowned. And, you know, basically, the main conclusion is interfaith marriage is the cause of severe woe for God's people and for the whole earth. So, anyway, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this wonderful day. We thank you, Lord, for the scriptures that guide us into all truth. Pray that you would, Lord, bless the soul winning today. Lord, bless the second service, Lord, and help us to make a difference out there today as we go preach the gospel. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.